Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the Review of All Rights Protection Mechanisms in All GTLDs PDP Working Group. Call on the 25th of January, 2017 at 4 o'clock UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Thank you.
Hi, this is Christine Doreen, and I am trying to get onto the bridge right now.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Christine. All right. Thank you. Well, as a reminder, all participants as well, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes and keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Jay Scott.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. It's my understanding from the two co-chairs and our able staff, Mary Wong, that we had begun the discussion of some of the TMH charter questions in Category 1. And so I think the two questions, one had to do with, let me see here if I've got the email here from Mary. Or Mary, do we have those for the screen? I don't see them listed.
Hi, Jay Scott and everyone. This is Mary from staff. Yeah, we have all the questions from Category 1 on screen, and that's the first slide that you'll be seeing after the title slide. Yeah. And the other slides are the follow-on questions that were sent to the mailing list, if that helps.
Yeah, I can't. Okay, here it is. I can move this scroll bar at the bottom, and it's going to give the, because mine is cut off. So we were discussing this question one about, is the trademark clearinghouse clear to communicating? And I think there was some discussion around, like, you know, who's it supposed to be communicating to? So I'll open it up to the floor. Let me minimize my screen here so I can see hands that go up. Does anybody have any thoughts with regards to this question one about the communication of the trademark clearinghouse? Okay. Well, if there are no comments, then we'll look at question two. And we have, should the trademark clearinghouse be responsible for educating rights holders, domain registrants, and potential registrants about the service it provides? If so, how? If the trademark clearinghouse isn't responsible, who should be? Speaking not as chair, but as a rights holder and representative of Adobe in the business constituency, I would argue it's ICANN's responsibility to educate rights holders and the internet stakeholder community about the trademark clearinghouse, what goes in it, how it's used, and what it's used for. That's just my perspective. I don't think that's necessarily the job of the trademark clearinghouse. I mean, I think that they do for marketing purposes because they want people to use it, market it, but I don't know if education, you want the purveyor of the service, which receiving a fee, to necessarily be the educator. I'm not sure. I look at education as being a little bit more objective and than not. So I sort of see that as ICANN's role. I see we have two hands up. I'm going to call Christine Drain first.
Hi, everyone. This is Christine. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I'm on mobile, so let me know if there's a problem. So I know that we're sort of revisiting a little bit to capture anyone who might have missed last week. One, just to get back on the record, one of the things that I talked about with question two was with respect to the Trademark Clearinghouse, I believe that they should be educating their users on the technical aspects of the Trademark Clearinghouse. So, you know, how to, for rights holders, how they get marks in, how to interact with the clearinghouse, how to talk about or how to, you know, contact the clearinghouse if there are problems, that sort of use-based education. To the extent that the Trademark Clearinghouse services are being used to interfere with domain name registrants or potential registrants, that information, that sort of education should be the onus of the people whose customers having that experience. So registries, registrars, and probably ICANN as sort of a neutral third party for sort of being the master provider of that sort of information. So I thought I'd get that back on the record for this call as well.
Thanks, Christine. Peter, bring forth. I see your hand.
Hi, Peter here. Hearing Christine, I think I had the same idea, but I'm not sure if it was vice versa. I think that the trademark clearinghouse should split up education versus information, and the trademark clearinghouse should be responsible for the initial information, whereas ICANN and other providers should do the education. That can also add some other aspects of the trademark clearinghouse. But I think it's that the providers, the providers, must have the basic information and be responsible for updates of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. I see Kathy Kleiman has her hand up.
Good evening, Jay Scott. This is Kathy, and apologies for being a little late. I guess in some ways we are repeating a conversation of last week, but I think the Trademark Clearinghouse is the organization with the incentive, the opportunity, and the focus to educate everyone on the Trademark Clearinghouse and the services it provides. Maybe there was some thinking early on that ICANN would do it or could do it, but that's fallen by the wayside because ICANN didn't do it. So the only education that exists, and I've been told this by many, is the Trademark Clearinghouse and the Trademark Clearinghouse for its direct customers, the trademark owners. I don't think it would impose a lot on the Trademark Clearinghouse to extend its education to everyone. So what is a sunrise period and have materials that explain it from the perspective both of the trademark owner who may be registered in the Trademark Clearinghouse database as well as the domain name registrant that may be affected by it because there's a domain name that they wanted to register and it's not open at the first moment, at the first second of general availability because it was registered during sunrise. And this gets much more important for trademark claims. So that people have somewhere to go when they get a trademark claims notice that has some good educational material. So again, Trademark Clearinghouse right now is the group with incentive, opportunity, and focus, and we're looking at a vacuum. So it sounds like we all want to fill it, but I'm not sure kicking the can down the road will do that. Thanks.
Thanks. I mean, I think I can barely read because I just took out my contacts. Is it Valdov had his hand up next?
Yes, that's correct. Vaibhav Agarwal. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to everyone. It's a pleasureful morning here in Delhi, and it's a sunny winter. Now, just to take on where I think most of us are on the same page, there should be awareness, but I'm of the view that it should be a community effort, and it shouldn't just be limited to ICANN or RTMCH itself. So if the community, say, let's say, for example, if the registrar community is doing business using TMCH and there is a business aspect connected to it, then the business stakeholders as well as the service stakeholders both should be involved in spreading the awareness about the subject. So it shouldn't be, you know, TMCH as a service shouldn't just be cornered. Either ICANN shouldn't be cornered. I think it should be a community effort to educate the registrants about TMCH and its service. And I think I'm sure this has been taken up before as well, and I'm happy to take it up again. But I'm sure I don't need to belabor on the point that I'm trying to make. Thank you.
Thank you. And next was Christine Duran. Christine.
Hi, thanks, Jay Scott. Christine from Amazon Registry Services again. I just wanted to counter a little bit with the idea about the Trademark Clearinghouse being able to provide sunrise information.
every register how their sunrise is going to go. So the trademark clearinghouse must be provided to a registry for sunrise, but as far as what the specific registry is going to do with that information, it could vary based on the sunrise, and is it a start date sunrise, and is it an end date sunrise, and how long is the sunrise, and what are the different allocation mechanisms, and, you know, even if you're in the trademark clearinghouse, that doesn't mean you're going to get allocated the trademark based on the registry operator's policies. So the trademark clearinghouse really, other than sort of providing some technical overview on how the darn thing works, I just don't think that you're going to be able to rely on them to differentiate from provider to from registry to registry. Additionally, I think the claims are a little better because at least the text is static. But with respect to the claim service, some registries can extend the claim service beyond the traditional, I think, 60 days. You can go, you know, a year if you want. The trademark clearinghouse, you know, would need to sort of customize that. I think that the registries and registrars should be conveying information to their customers, or if they're not doing a good job, then it becomes on ICANN, and if ICANN's not doing it, then we need to get on ICANN, not shift the responsibility to someone else. We wouldn't ask, you know, any given restaurant to talk about how the FDA, the U.S. FDA, is you know, doing their job. You know, we would put it back on the FDA to, you know, step up and explain themselves better. Thanks.
Thank you, George.
George Kirikos, for the purpose of the transcript. Yeah, I'm leaning more towards what Christine just said, that the TMCH are just contractors. They should just be, you know, have a very defined set of duties, and the rest should be left to ICANN and the registrars, because ultimately it's the registrars that have the relationship with the customers. If you look ahead, if there's going to be multiple TMCH providers, not just one provider, how do you share the education goal if there's supposed to be, you know, multiple providers? I don't think it's going to be something that can be, you know, written down in a contract that they have to spend, you know, a certain amount of dollars, or how it would work if there are multiple TMCH providers. So that was my perspective on this issue. Thanks.
All right. So, any other thoughts or comments on this one? George, your hand is still up. I'm going to assume that's an old hand and you're not responding to my last question. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it seems like we've had a robust discussion. This combined with the discussion from last week, I see that we have some discussion going on in the chat. I hope that will be replicated because I'm not going to read these long statements that have been placed into the chat. They could be read when people read the transcript and listen to the transcript or read the transcript from the chat that's put out by staff when they do a summary of the meeting. So it looks to me like, you know, it's hard to say, but it seems to me, Mary, that one of the things we should do is perhaps, it looks like to me there seem to be sort of two, maybe there are three views here, but I'm not sure. One was the view I expressed, and it seems to be that Christine and George have either agreed or have a version of that, which is it's on ICANN to be the neutral educator of sort of the ecosystem, which is ICANN and the applying for domain names. I think that Christine's point that can be emphasized in that educational materials, a sunrise period is X, sort of from a generic perspective, but then there are different flavors. For example, we're getting some feedback from someone, so if everyone would put their phones on mute, that would be great. So it seems to me that that's one perspective. And then there was Kathy's perspective, and Kathy's perspective seems to be, I wouldn't say that it's a polar opposite, but it's quite different. And that is she believes that the TMCH itself should be charged with and the one that has to do the education of everyone within the ecosystem. And I'm not so sure those were the it seems to me that those were the only two we got, unless what George and Christine were advocating, and you all can chime in if I'm, is different than mine, that it's ICANN, that it should be some sort of hybrid combination between ICANN and registries and registrars educating their consumers, and that all sort of combined should do that. I guess we also had, I apologize, we had another point of view, which was it's the community itself. The whole community should be involved. So it seems to me we've got three and or four different perspectives that I think we need to sort of distill, Mary, into some sort of bullet point that we can then circulate to the group to see where we can build some consensus around it. I see that we have Heather Forrest raising her hand. Heather.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I don't know if everyone else can. I certainly can hear you perfectly clear.
Super. Thank you. I thought, Jay Scott, I would speak out for that third option that you've just articulated at the end of your summary, which is the hybrid. And the way that I would see the hybrid is, you know, in, so often in ICANN we have a substance and a function, or let's say the why, the policy behind something, and then the how something works, dare I say policy and implementation. And to a certain degree, of course, the TMCH operator has a role to explain the functionality of their system and how it works and how best to use it and how not to use it and so on and so forth. But certainly ICANN, as keepers of the policy, have, let's say, a different role to play, which is not the technical side of things or the functional side of things, which is the rationale and the underpinning behind why something is in place and how it works. And I think it's very easy for folks who lived through the development of the policy for the new GTLD program prior to 2008, or let's say, you know, prior to and after 2008, prior to 2012, we all remember why things were put into place, and how they came to be a particular way. But the newcomers to the system certainly don't know that. So I see that as being, let's say, the manifestation of the hybrid, if I can speak to that one. Thanks.
Thank you, Heather. And Michael Fleming, I see your hand is up.
Michael Fleming, for the record. I'm assuming I can be heard. But just to kind of touch on the community efforts, I think we also need to extend, at least look at the TMCH agents as well, be included in those communication efforts in regards to how that could be communicated out to rights holders, for example. And another aspect of this question I kind of like to extend to is, in the can we reflect the wording, perhaps, or can we look at how the TMCH communicated, how the TMCH educated rights holders, domain registrants, as well as potential registrants in the past. I think being able to look at how that was done, and I know it was done because I worked with TMCH, sort of the staff of TMCH myself, to do seminars here in Japan, but looking at how what examples were done in the past would help give us a better focus as well.
Thank you, Michael. Well, I think that certainly is something that we could consider. But again, I think that we need to, I would suggest, Mary, that we distill these, looks like three and or four, maybe four different positions around. And as we try to develop consensus, we may want to look at what Michael just brought up, is to look at how this has been communicated in the past. I know Kathy has clearly stated that, in her opinion, she believes there is a huge vacuum, and that she has been told, I believe, if I'm quoting correctly, by many, many people, that there is a vacuum and that ICANN has not stepped in, nor has anyone else. But somebody's gotten some information somewhere, because people have been using it, and people are either think it's working or don't think it's working, and so they have some cognizant idea of it. But maybe we need to look into some of those communication efforts that happened in round one, see if they were, in fact, effective, and who was doing them. Was it registries? Was it registrars? Was it the clearinghouse? Was it ICANN? And if that can be approved upon. But I think to move us forward, I'd like to take the four positions, put them in bullet points, and then we can put a footnote down at the bottom saying that Michael has suggested we take a look back at some ways, and then we can feed that into. But we've got to build consensus around something. And I think if we take these four bullet points, get down to that, we can work into whittling that list down, because the discussions and decisions aren't going to be made on this call nor any call. They're going to have to be presented to the list from a distilled from these conversations, so that the entire list, those who cannot make a call because of timing, conveniences, or whatever, will have the ability to express their opinions and share them with their communities for those that are serving in a truly representative standpoint and want to make sure that they socialize it within their own stakeholder group. I see we have Christine Durand's hand up again. And it's gone. Is that purposely gone, or did we lose her?
So sorry, I clicked the wrong thing. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I had to switch devices, so let me know if there's a problem. I wanted to remind everyone that the question formation team that I was on has requested information from the Trademark Clearinghouse on what sorts of education is provided. So we should have that at our disposal eventually for review. Additionally, it might be helpful to add to our list of things, and these may be questions that we actually did ask as a team. Mary or Kathy or Vibhav, you may remember, I don't offhand, but we may have asked registrars and registrants if they do offer training on either the claims or the sunrise and how that how that's impacted by the Trademark Clearinghouse. So we may have some data coming in the near future that we could use to help inform our decision here.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks so very much. So very much. All right. So I think those were the only – were we going to go on to question three, Mary? Can you give me some help here, or are we just doing one and two, and then we were going to look at the feedback we'd gotten with regards to one and two? Thank you, Mary. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jay Scott and everyone. I think it's really up to the group, because last week we had quite a good discussion on questions one and two, and there were some follow-up questions that were posted to the list and that you can see in the remainder of the slides. So you could go through those, or you could start on question three, which I don't believe we actually had any or much discussion of last week at all. So we weren't sure what the attendance would be or what the interest of this group. I guess either option would work depending on how you, Jay Scott, and Kathy, and the rest of the group would like to approach it.
Okay. I'm having real trouble reading the slide. So if I look here, and we go down after question three, and the bullet points, are those the questions that were circulated? And because I saw very little discussion on the list. So I'll ask the group. So first of all, Kathy, clarify for me if the bullet points at the end of question three, after question three, are in fact the additional questions that that are possible to discuss, or is there something else I'm missing? Effie. Mary. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not at all. And I'm happy to cede to Kathy if she has comments. You're right, Jay Scott. We did circulate the follow-up. Yeah. We circulated the follow-up questions that are in the remainder of these slides, which are on slides 3 and 4 to the list. I believe we only got substantive comments from Greg Shatton, not able to join us on the call. So what we could do is recirculate these questions together with the notes from today, encourage folks to continue that conversation, and then start on the question three today, which is the information on the operation of the Trademark Clearinghouse, if you like.
Yeah, I think that's what I'd prefer to do, unless I see any strong objection to that. I'd like to get, a wider involvement with looking at the additional questions that you have on slides 3 and 4. So if we could do that, circulate those again, and see if we can get someone beyond Greg Shatton to respond. So we have question 3 here. I'm going to have to blow up my screen, which means I won't be able to see your hands for just a moment while I look at this. What information on the following aspects of the operation of the TMCH is available, or where can it be found? Okay, that seems like it's an interesting question to be asking this group, unless perhaps they have some sort of intuitive knowledge that I don't have. But I would put this to the group. Are you aware of any particular information regarding these A, B, and C here, TMCH services, contractual relationship between the TMCH providers and private parties, and with whom does the TMCH share data and for what purposes? It would seem to me that the people that would know about B and C would be the Trademark Clearinghouse vendor, but perhaps I'm naive. Does anyone else have any idea about where we might find this information? I think Kathy's raised her hand.
Hi, J. Scott. I just want to agree with you. I think you're right that the TMCH providers, both IBM and Deloitte, probably in the reverse order, Deloitte and IBM, are the right place to go for the answers to these questions. I don't know the answers either.
Then I would suggest that the chairs, on behalf of the committee, send this question to those parties and ask them if they're willing to share this information with us. Michael Fleming.
Sorry, Jay Scott. I just would like to ask a clarification question. I guess I'm not understanding. Are we supposed to be trying to answer these questions right now, or are we looking to who we need to ask in order to answer these questions?
I think it's a combination. I think for some of the things we're looking for a solution, like question 2, we would distill it down into possible answers that we would build a consensus around. And then, of course, that would bleed into an action plan. I would think with regards to this question 3, it's pretty clear. We can't answer it. We don't have that information. We would seek to get that answered by the vendors, as I've just stated. And let me look at question 1 again. And I think with question 1, I think that that is a subjective question that we would ask that this group answer by reaching out to members of this community, which they interface with and are representing here, to bring that information forward and share this question with their communities so that we can have that as well as the input of the experiences with this particular group. But perhaps I'm off, and I will open it up to you or others that might have different thoughts.
So as a follow-up to at least looking at question 3, the best information you will find is obviously getting it directly from the provider, the TMCH providers. Other than that, though, of course, the TMCH services are all listed on their website, trademark-clearinghouse.com, as well as especially the TMCH share data. When you say share data, do you mean like the number of trademarks, for example, or do you mean that's the only thing that could come to my mind. Oh, sorry, with whom does the TMCH share data? I read that incorrectly. But that kind of data is provided in webinars by the TMCH. They have mailing lists that they send that out to. And then in regards to question B, for contractual relationships between the TMCH providers and private parties, as in private parties, do you mean the TMCH agents? Or who is this, and who does this apply to?
I did write the question, so I'm not sure, but if I had to postulate just based on the discussion that we've been having in and around these issues over the last 6 to 8 months, I would assume that this falls mainly for those parties beyond ICANN, such as registries, that might be running additional services off of the Trademark Clearinghouse, but I could be incorrect. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I was not on the drafting committee for this. Or if there's somebody who has a perspective that's different from this or remembers something different than I did. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now better?
Is this better? Did you all hear what I had to say?
Are you hearing me better now? Okay, some people heard me, some people didn't, and for that I apologize, but I'll try to repeat quickly. With regards to Michael's follow-up question with regards to who these private parties are, it's my understanding is that just from having extrapolated from conversations we've been having over the last few months, is private parties would be third-party registries that are doing additional services based on the information in Trademark Clearinghouse. But if that is not what was meant, I said if somebody that worked on drafting these questions or looking at them before this could answer that, because that would be my perspective. Mary?
Thanks, J. Scott, and like you, I'm happy for my recollection to be corrected. I agree with you. I believe that the idea was to see the extent to which and, if possible, who was using the Trademark Clearinghouse database for purposes other than Sunrise and claims. So, for example, for blocking
PPML
mechanism services, what I've done is I've put in the Adobe chat the specific question that we've asked Deloitte and IBM. Yeah.
Okay, so, Michael, did you see Mary's comment in the chat that's right above Maxim's comment? You see that there's a specific question we asked with regards to this. Okay, you see it. Thank you, Michael, for letting me know that in the chat. So that's who that is. So unless I see any objection, I would suggest that Kathy and Phil and I send a look at this question and see if we can ask these questions, or if they haven't already been asked, ask these specific questions to IBM and to Deloitte. Do I hear any objection to that? If you object, please put a red X in the pod with regards to your response. Okay. It looks like we may have already asked that. We just need to shake the tree a little to get it from the GDD folks who may be serving as our conduit with the provider. I see that Christine Duran has raised her hand again. Duran, I'm sorry, Christine. Go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Jay Scott. No problem. So I just wanted, this was the sort of the mission that we had in the subgroup where we created the original list of questions for the Trademark Clearinghouse, is we were worried at coming back to them piecemeal. So we've got a whole bunch of charter questions related to the Trademark Clearinghouse here, and I'm wondering if we want to really go back to them week by week piecemeal with more questions related to the next two charter questions that we happen to be discussing those couple of weeks. I guess maybe we need to work out a system for how often or how we're going to communicate to the Trademark Clearinghouse. But again, we encourage us to try to see what information we get back from them. We may find that some of this information is answered in what we get, or we may find that they're being uniformly unresponsive entirely, and we shouldn't really expect to get any of the information we're looking for. So I just want to throw that out there for discussion as far as sort of how we're going to go about this data collection.
Well, what if we call through these questions, make a list of the questions that we believe we need to ask the vendor directly, and then we ask them to come to our meeting in Copenhagen, and we set them down in a room, and we just ask them the questions and tell them what we're looking for. I mean, it seems to me that would be face-to-face. Hopefully we would have a lot of people at the meeting that would be able to participate, and then we could sort of have side discussions if those needed to be had. I just think that there's and have a consolidated list. We get them all in the room. We ask them what they can answer verbally, what they think they can answer. They can follow up with us if things they can't. We can set deadlines for that to occur. I just think that, we've got to have some way to interact with them and bring this thing forward. And I do agree with Christine's point, and I think it's a very valid point, that you can only go to the well so many times before you're going to come back dry. You may come back dry the first time, but certainly even a cooperative party after the third or fourth question is going to get exhausted and not want to deal with it. Even if you get only contact them once, you contact them with 13 questions, you're much likely to get a more positive response than if you come in with one or two questions every 3 or 4 weeks. That I see first Mary's hand is the first one I see, and then I see Christine's hand, so we'll go Mary then Christine.
Thanks again, Jay Scott. So especially for the folks who haven't been able to be on all the calls, the staff recollection is that the reason, well, one reason why the questions were sent to the providers as soon as the sub-team was able to confirm them was so that we would have the initial responses round about now, basically, have the opportunity to review them and possibly develop follow-up, not necessarily questions, but just things that we want to follow up with them on. And the idea was to do that before the Copenhagen meeting so that we can continue to have that conversation with them. So one action item that staff will take away today is to indeed find out if the TMCH providers or one or both will be in Copenhagen, or if not, if they can participate in a session with us. And on that note, I just wanted to also put for the record that this working group will likely have up to a 3-hour meeting on day one of the Copenhagen meeting, the 11th of March, which is a Saturday. And we also will likely have a slot, which is more like the regular open community slot, for something like an hour or so on day 5 of the meeting, which is the Wednesday, the 15th. So in other words, there should be opportunities to engage with both the providers and the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Christine?
Thank you, Christine Doreen, again, for the record. Yeah, I guess I just wanted to, Mary said a lot of what I was going to say. I really like the idea of that face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen, and I guess I could have put this in the chat, but I'm trying to keep the audio conversation going, too, so you don't feel lonely. But I think the ability to, as you just pointed out, sort of digest some of the information that we're about to get, apply them to these charter questions and these additional questions, and then use the time in the next few weeks to formulate sort of deeper dive questions and then bring them into the room, I think is a really great strategy. So that's a long way of saying yay, plus one.
Okay. Well, that sounds like we've got a plan. And if we've already reached out to the vendor with these questions, Kathy, I would also say that one of the things, I keep saying Kathy, I'm so sorry, Mary and Kathy, I'm tired. It's been a very long day. Mary, one of the things we may want to do is chase the vendor to say that this is what we're trying to do, is get this information so that we can, you know, have this face-to-face meeting and let them know what our desire is and why we need it and give them a hard deadline to get it to us. And I would suggest that it's probably no later than the 15th of February, just because that would give us some time to deal with this on the phone, so the people who will not be there live will have a chance to perhaps give their input to those, to the chairs and those that will be there live, so that no one gets left out of that discussion. So that's sort of, I see that Mary has agreed to do that. At this stage, I think that we've gone through these three questions, and we've decided to circulate the additional questions that were poised, to the list again to see if we can get a little additional discussion besides the one gracious response we received from Mr. Chatton. We've got sort of an action plan with what we're going to do with some of these other things. And so I suggest at this time that that we can give each other 20 minutes, 19 minutes of our day back, unless anyone has any other business that they'd like to discuss. Don't see any hands. I'm not hearing anyone coming forward. I don't see anything. George is typing in the chat. Let me see what he's got to say before I... he says, bye, folks. Okay. With that, I'm giving everyone now 19 minutes of your day back. I really appreciate everyone, especially those that it was in inconvenient time zones. I'm glad we were able to accommodate those who it is usually inconvenient for. Thank you for being with us, and thank you to staff for their help. And everyone have a great day, a nice evening, or a wonderful tomorrow. Bye. Good night.